Welcome to the Jazz Piano School podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. This show is for jazz pianists who are putting in the work, practicing, studying, listening, but still feel unclear about how everything is supposed to fit together. If you've ever felt like you're jumping between ideas without a clear path, let me tell you this, you are not alone. And the good thing is you're in the right place. Let's get into today's episode. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe. Thank you so much for being here. It feels good to be back. I had to take a little hiatus because we migrated all of the Jazz Piano School content, educational content, into a brand new platform called the Academy, the Jazz Piano School Academy. We're going to be launching that very, very soon. I'm going to get to that at the very end, but I want to jump into today's content. And so essentially, how do jazz pianists know which voicings to use, right? One of the most common questions that I get from students is this. They say, Brendan, should I use shell voicings? Should I use rootless voicings? What are these spread voicings I'm hearing about? And, you know, I want to learn chordal voicings or upper structures, right? Which voicing is the best, okay? Have you found yourself asking that question? I mean, I did all the time as well. Back in the day, I used to always ask that, like, hey, what new voicings do you have? Can you show me new voicings? Like, I was always, or I'd hear a pianist play some voice, and I'd be like, oh, what voicing was that, right? I'm going to give you a nugget right now, okay? So listen closely. This helped me so much. Instead of searching endlessly for new types of cool voicings, I want you to ask this. What sound am I trying to create? What sound am I trying to create? What am I trying to express on the piano? What feeling do I want to emote, right, from the music? Because I'll tell you this, professional jazz pianists, including myself, we rarely ever ask which voicing is the best. Do you know why? Because there is no best voicing. Every voicing has a purpose, right? So there is no the best voicing. I use all voicings, shells. I'll use a lot of shells, just two-note shells, a lot for so many things, comping, solo piano, improv, right? So if you haven't really learned your shells, I use those a lot. I also use three-note voicings. I also use four-note voicings. I use five-note voicings. I use two-hand spread voicings. I use modern voicings. I use old-school voicings, drop twos, right? Chordal voicings, high-end comping voicings, right? I use everything under the moon for specific textures, not because one's better than the other, okay? So today's episode is all about understanding the purpose behind the different types of voicing so that you know when to use them and why. All right, so I want to start off with this, and really, I want you to really remember this. Every voicing has a job. Every voicing has a job. And students often learn voicings like flashcards, which is good. I mean, like, I'm all about that because we need to memorize voicings, right? But we're always, in the beginning, we're always consumed with notes and cool sounds. Okay, so we start off by learning our shells, and then we learn rootless voicings and chordals and upper structure triads, right? That's a great way to start. But eventually, if you want to transition to a higher level, you need to start thinking about voicings in this way. What style tune am I playing? What's the tempo? Am I accompanying one person? Am I accompanying a vocalist? Am I accompanying a bass player? Am I accompanying two horns playing together? Right? What's the mood of the song right now? Is there energy? Is it light? Is it soft? Am I playing solo piano? How much space do I want? What color do I want? What feeling do I want to express? Does that make sense? Because all of them are going to do something, right? And it's not about the notes anymore. It's about what type of voicing do you want for that situation and so many other things. So I'm going to go from the bottom up, really, and try to, as best as possible, talk about the different types of voicings that you do have available to you to use, when I use them, how I use them, what the purpose is, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to start with shells. Now, so many people are like, when I was growing up, I didn't know why shells were so important, right? And all my teachers would tell me to learn shells. I never really knew how to use them. The purpose of the shell voicings is simple clarity and function. It's literally those three things: clarity, function, and simplicity. That's what the purpose is. They're the fastest voicing to give you the most amount of information, if that makes sense. So like to get the pure quality of a C7 chord, you need your shells and a bass note. Your shells and a bass note, because that produces the pure quality of a C7 chord. And every other chord that you might want to play or reflect the sound of in a tune, okay? So if you're playing solo piano, guess what? You need to be the person playing the bass note. If you're in a group, you can just play the shells because you have a bass player. So you have an option there, but I also recommend playing the bass note a lot of the time because the bass player is going to be walking all over the place, usually, and when you just play shells, the voicing tends to lose a little bit of its oomph. If you are not supporting it with your own bass note on the piano, you can really deliver a strong voicing with bass notes, and that's such a huge myth that students get taught. I don't really know where people tell them not to play bass notes in a group, which is the furthest thing from true. And it's all I preach. It's all I talk about and teach in all my lessons. You got to play bass notes. They're supporting your voicing. Okay. Anyway, so when do I use shells? I use shells a lot in so many different functions, like so many different ways. A, when I'm learning tunes, if I want to really try to memorize a tune, because so many students ask, Brendan, how do I memorize tunes so that they stick? Practicing with shells, because they're going to deliver the purest quality and function of the tune, is an amazing practice. It's an amazing practice to get down, because I'll comp through the tune using shells in my right hand and bass notes in my left hand. You're getting the root motion of the harmony in your left hand, and you're getting the pure quality of the harmonies in your right hand. That's why it's so important to be able to voice lead shells through tunes, because it's the fundamental skeleton of the structure. And it's the same thing when you're playing a tune, right? When you're learning progressions, shells are fantastic because they're literally just the function of the chord with no fluff. We need to be able to play the skeleton, okay? Here's some other great ways I use shells. If I'm in the low end, because the low end can get muddy very fast, shells are fantastic, and they actually resonate beautifully in the low end of the piano. So when I comp, again, in a band, or even when I'm playing solo piano, if I'm comping for myself, because remember, you got to learn how to comp for yourself when you're playing solo piano. Comping just isn't just about playing with other people. It's about playing in solo piano by yourself. So when I comp for myself, when I'm playing solo piano, I use a lot of shells in my right hand down low in the bottom end of the piano. All right? And my left hand plays bass, and they resonate beautifully. Now, as I transition up the piano, my shells become split. This is where it gets really, really important to understand your shells. To really master, here's a great nugget as well, to master two-hand voicings, okay, your shells mainly, primarily, will be split between both of your thumbs. So your two thumbs will have two different shells. And if you don't know your shells, that's not going to happen very easily. And that step right there is part of my cocktail style ballad system, which is in the new Jazz Piano School Academy, okay, which we're releasing July 7th. So if you want to get on that waiting list, you can absolutely do so. You can find that link in the notes there, or you can go to Jazz Piano School and just look for the membership and you can get on the waiting list. But anyway, splitting your shells between your thumbs is one of the most important things that you're going to need to learn how to do. Now, as we transition up the piano, my left hand will take over shells. My left hand. And when I'm comping, again, using voicings to comp, my left hand will have upper structure triads possibly, or drop twos. But upper structure triads, or shell voicings, as a lot of people call them, your left hand has the shells. You'll also be using shells in your left hand when you're improvising, when your right hand is improvising, and you're playing in a group. Okay, only when you're playing in a group. When I'm playing solo piano and improvising, I do play shells in my left hand, but it has to do way more stuff. It has to jump around. Like my left hand has to play a bass note and then jump to shells. Okay, so, you know, I've been tweaking around with the, I can play here. I'll do little demos for you. You know, I was like, should I just make this an all audio podcast? I know you can't see what's going on, but I would have to jump up like that to do my shells, right? And again, when I'm improvising in a group, I don't have to do that. I can just play my shells and improvise. Right? So my left hand's just playing shells there because I have a bass player walking for me. Okay. Now, the other reason I'd use my shells is do comp. So if I'm comping, my right hand might play some octaves and my left hand might play some shells, especially in a blues, which is cool. My left hand right there in that demo is just playing shells. Isn't that amazing to believe? Shells. That's it. That's it. How awesome does that sound, right? My right hand's playing some octaves and moving around the blues scale. So shells are extremely important and they will never go away. They will always be present and prevalent in all of your jazz piano journey for the rest of your life. So if you don't know your shells well, and many students abandon shells way too quickly, like, and they don't know them, right? And it's one of the proficiency exams in the Proficient Jazz Pianist, which is the first step of the new streamlined jazz piano system, right? PJP, moving into the academy, moving into the accelerator program. So if you don't test out a proficiency with your shells, a lot of stuff just doesn't work in the future because shells are a part of everything. And professionals use them constantly in literally almost everything we do, even improvisation. All right, number two, I'm going to be moving into rootless voicing. So we're expanding from shells into a type of voicing called rootless voicings. Now, the rootless voicings are fantastic because unlike traditional root position voicings, right, your rootless voicings give you a jazz sound that's going to really say, oh my God, it sounds like I'm actually playing jazz. And I remember the first time I learned a rootless voicing, my teacher taught them to me, and I was like, oh my God, it finally sounds like I'm playing jazz. They're amazing. The other thing I can say about rootless voicings is it's the same concept with rootless voicings as I just mentioned with shells. So your rootless voicings sound like jazz, and they will expand into other types of advanced voicings and concepts very fast, right? Again, the rootless voicing is the heart of, it's like walking to running, okay? So if you want to learn jazz very well, you need to learn your rootless voicings. You need to learn your rootless voicings. You need to learn your rootless voicings, like the back of your hand. I really, there's no other way to put it. Because you'll always be stalled out. If you don't learn your shells and your rootless voicings, there's literally, I'll be the first one to say it, I'm sorry, but you don't have any chance. Like if you, for the a lot of the dreams, and I'm not trying to be harsh or mean or anything, but like I literally can't express enough that if you cannot play your rootless voicings and shells pretty fast and fluidly without looking at music, or if you're hesitating or guessing, nothing else is going to matter. It's literally like crawling and walking. You know, babies learn how to crawl and then they walk. That is, shells is crawling and rootless voicings is walking as to a baby's development or a person learning how to run. I promise you, okay? So let's talk about the purpose here. So rootless voicings are used in so many different ways. I'm going to go and align these with a three-goal system that I use in my PJP in the Jazz Piano School Academy, which is launching July 7th, and in the Accelerator program. The rootless voicings can serve in all three ways. In goal number one, for comping in a group or in solo piano, they're going to serve your solo piano goal, and they're going to serve your improvisational goal. But let's talk about how and why. So if you're comping with rootless voicings, you're going to use them in a lot of different ways. The low end of the piano here, I need to make sure this is coming through, one second. Yeah, it is. So that sounds like jazz right off the bat. Like, it doesn't sound like this. Right? That's just root position voicings I'm playing, but the other one is all rootless voicings with voice leading. This is an altered rootless voicing. It's not the traditional. Here are your traditional rootless voicings. Here's with some alterations, which again is advancing the rootless voicing. It's one step up. But that sounds like jazz immediately, right? When I play my rootless voicings, it's like, again, I can't stress enough, but I use those all the time. Every professional jazz pianist uses rootless voicings all the time. All the time, right? And so I use these in comping so much the time in a lot of different ways. In this low end of the piano, I use it in the middle end of the piano. So believe it or not, just listen to this. My right hand is playing all rootless voicings. That's all rootless voicings in my right hand. And they're very simple to learn, and they're very easy, and they're the beginning steps to learn, you know, jazz, harmony, and theory, and voicings, and comping, and literally how to arrange a lot of stuff. Solo piano melodies, so many different things. Improvisational things, right? So I use it in comping, in groups, right? In all sorts of tunes. Swing tunes, standards, playing with a bass player, not playing with a bass player. And they're great for rich harmony, ensemble playing, and I use them in a lot of different types of areas on the piano. I just demonstrated the low end. Here's right hand rootless voicings, left hand bass notes. Here's the middle. And then again, when I get into like that mid to high, my left hand now has rootless voicings and my right hand has like an octave or something. So right now my left hand is playing all rootless voicings. So again, just like the shells, they don't leave. They really don't leave. They will stay with you. Now, you might say, oh, Brendan, you're going to say that for everything. I will not. I promise you. These are going to be around with almost everything you do and everything you touch in any type of jazz piano tune, any style, any setting. You're going to need your rootless voicings and shells. That is not the case for the next couple things I'm going to be going over, right? So the thing I want to point out about your rootless voicings is that within your rootless voicings, guess what? Two of the notes are the shells at all times. So when I do this to this to this, right? If I take out the other two notes at the heart of it, I'm just doing shells. So again, you just see another example of a sequential learning system that's put together, you know, in my philosophies, which I just never saw that much, or it wasn't explained to me, I guess, through my journey, even in school and like in the New School University when I got my college degree. This is a really funny thing, but rootless voicings contain two shells. So if you learn your shells, you already got two of the notes down. It's amazing, right? All right, so rootless voicings, got to be learned. Okay, let's go on. Let's move on to some other types of modern voicings. Now, modern voicings can be a lot of different things. And I consider like modern voicings to be, again, we're still using fundamentals, meaning we're using shells, but we're using more types of abstract colors, textures, and choices. Colors, textures, and choices. And this is where students really start to want to explore this particular category a lot before really mastering their shells and rootless voicings. And again, I don't blame you for any of this stuff. Do you know why? Because I did it. Before I even built Jazz Piano School, back in my day when I was learning, this was literally the downfall to me not learning faster. I could have been 100 times better, quicker, if I had just listened to what I preach today. I wish I had, right? So modern voicings, right? Might be this, or it might be this. It could be this. So we're getting into thick, lush colors, more extensions, sophistication, atmosphere. Okay? And these are, and again, it could be little clusters. It could be strange shapes like this, right? Now, again, all these voicings I'm playing for you, guess what? They have the shells. Shells. Shells, but I'm adding different types of extensions in here that are not common voicings that you would really find on the internet. They're more about shapes, colors, and textures in the atmosphere, about what you're trying to go for. Okay, these are going to be modern voicings, right? And so a lot of people are like, I want more modern voicings, right? I use these in a lot of ballads. Okay, so if I want thicker ballad textures. Right, stuff like this. So it's a combination of a lot of different things. And again, the difference here is between the functional harmony and coloring of the harmony. So once the harmony is established, meaning with the shells or even the rootless voicings, because we can turn rootless voicings into modern voicings, we can really start painting. We can start painting with a lot of extensions. Okay, and I use them in a lot of different things. Like again, I use them in ballads, I use them in solo piano, I use them in comping, and I use them. Now in improv, this gets a little interesting because you don't have as much room. I mean, you do. If I am comping, this is gonna be all in my left hand. Right, stuff like this. So my left hand's doing all the voicing painting now, while my right hand improvises, right? So your left hand would really have to be, and that's in a group improv setting. Remember, solo piano improv skill set is completely different than a group improv skill set. I'll say that one more time because it's so important. Solo piano improv skill set is a completely different educational track that's separated in the Jazz Piano School Academy for you than learning group improvisation because of the skill sets that you're going to need. So creating color builds on top of your rootless voicings, and you can expand your rootless voicings very easily. Here's a beautiful G minor rootless voicing. If I want to expand this, I could throw maybe the 13 in here. Maybe I could throw the 11. Right, you hear the difference between this. Here's my rootless voicing. This, and here's my other. Right, so you're getting creative colors, atmospheres, and textures in different ways that build upon your shells and your rootless voicings. And I use that in a lot of different ways, but sometimes I don't always go for this, right? That's a choice. We're getting into choices now. Whereas shells and rootless voicings I use all the time, these now start to become choice voicings, choice atmospheres, choice ambiances that you choose that you want to express, okay? Now let's talk about some other voicings that really I am going to say are about filling space or a smaller percentage of what voicings actually serve and do, their job, okay? So spread voicings are going to be for bigger sound in solo piano. I shouldn't say these really fill space. I'm sorry, I'm not into those yet. I'm gonna just talk about spread voicings for a second, and then I'll talk about fill space voicings. But your spread voicings here, bigger sounds, they're used for solo piano, right, for harmonizing melodies, and thick textures, big spreads, solo piano, and thick textures. Okay, now I use these in solo piano, I use them in duo settings, I use them in ballads. I don't comp with these huge, thick voicings a lot in medium swing tunes and fast tunes, in big group situations, even quartet, quintet. A lot of these, again, are only used for solo piano cocktail style ballads, duo with a vocalist or some sort of instrument, you know, and in softer kind of ballad, maybe slow swing style settings, okay? But again, what the purpose here is to fill those jobs. And again, they all build off of a rootless voicing. So again, really, it's about the purpose. It's about the purpose of the voicing, because I would still use a rootless voicing, but if I wanted something thin and simple, I might play this, right? A rootless voicing. If I wanted something thick and big, I might play this or this, right? So it's not about what's better in this particular case. It's about the situation, the atmosphere. Let me go into these fill space voicings. So the fill space voicings are going to get into some of the things that we students generally tend to go for a lot. Okay, I'm kind of skipping around here, but that's fine. These are not used primarily that much of the time. And so many students gravitate towards these types of voicings because they're so cool and they're highlighted a lot because they give a quick fix of dopamine to our brain because they create a really fast jazz sound. That's why you're going to find so many YouTube videos about upper structure triads, about cool voicings, about these types of drop two voicings, because they're beautiful. They're beautiful. They give you that quick hit of dopamine. But their job is like 5% of the game. Okay, hear me out here. Their job is 5% of the game. So if you want to go fast in jazz piano and make a lot of progress, don't spend a lot of time on these voicings because they are 5% of the ball game. Sure, you want something fun to do? You want a quick sound to kind of give you that cool voicing? That sounds great. That's beautiful, right? And when you play that, you're going to be like, oh my God, that sounds amazing, right? I get it. I was there. Trust me. But I'm trying to give you the path. I'm trying to give you the nuggets. I'm trying to save you years on your time and journey. Because the way I use these voicings is for A, if I'm playing in a group a lot, like a quartet, even not even my trio, a quartet, a quintet, I use these voicings to comp a lot. Right? I do. So if you're playing in a group, go for it. If your main goal is to learn comping in more of a quartet or quintet, or you're in school, you're a high school student comping in a lot of groups, a college student, even an adult, and you're comping in groups and stuff, these are great. You do need to learn a lot of these. But so many students aren't. So many adult hobbyists, jazz piano enthusiasts, like in the Jazz Piano School Academy, in jazz piano school that I've seen over the years, you're not playing with people, right? You are just playing solo piano at home. And I'll tell you this, playing solo piano, I use these 2% of the time. Like, I might play something and jump up to fill. So if I'm playing Green Dolphin Street, I might jump up here and play some drop twos to fill in between Green Dolphin Street because the melody is holding. So I'm jumping up to comp for myself in those spaces utilizing upper structure triads and utilizing drop twos. But that's the only time I'm using them, right? To fill space, okay? They're not the fundamental skeleton, the structure of harmonizing melodies in solo piano, nor do you even need them. Like even if I were to do this, just do this. Right? I haven't used any drop twos or any upper structure triads. So my point here is you can sound and you should strive to sound amazing without them first because they're the cherry on top. They're the sprinkles, right? But when do I use them? I use them in modal tunes, modern standards, a lot of contemporary jazz, tunes like So What, Maiden Voyage. This is where my chordal sounds, my upper structure triads are going to give you a really cool Herbie chick sound, right? And the drop two sound is going to give you more classic kind of bebop sound, Red Garland, things like that. But again, unless you're comping in a quartet or above a lot, or you're very good at solo piano and you do need those extra fills now because your foundation is great, then I probably wouldn't spend that much time working on them. Okay. So finally, I'm going to get to the left-hand rootless voicings. Now, your left-hand rootless voicings or any sort of voicings, your right hand is going to be up here in this high end. Now, a lot of times, right, this is kind of the sound you hear. And what's happening here is that I use this a lot in the blues or to create a fun high texture that cuts through. So my right hand's playing like some octaves and fifths, and my left hand's playing rootless voicings, three note voicings, or even shells, right? And it's simple, but they're very rhythmic. They're very rhythmic and they cut and they're poignant. And if I want to be heard in big sections to create excitement and movement, that's when I use those types of voicings, right? They're not meant to be played all the time. I hear so many students play in the mid register up here and the high register all the time. Right? Which is, you need to flip that. If you want to be a great jazz pianist, you need to play in the low end most of the time, in the high end less. Because the high end is cutty, The EQ is a lot of mids and highs, meaning it's overlapping the melody a lot. It's overlapping exactly where the soloist is playing over. And your job as a pianist, depending upon the role, is to support. If you're playing solo piano, you can do whatever you want, obviously. But if, again, in a lot of different situations, those voicings are like very specific. And I hear pianists hang out there all the time, new pianists, right? So I'm going to wrap this up. Again, most students I hear over the decades of teaching I've been and teaching in jazz piano school and just like from being in jazz is what voicing should I learn next, right? That's what students are asking. That's what I ask. But the better question here is what musical problem am I trying to solve, right? What musical problem am I trying to solve? Does the music need more clarity? Use shells. Does the music need more ensemble support? Use some low-end rootless voicings or even low-end two-handed rootless voicings. Does it need more color? Then use more modern voicings with extensions, okay? Thicker voicings. Does it need more fullness? Sorry, I jumped ahead. Use more spread voicings, right? Just use more notes in your voicings, bigger spreads. Does it need more of a modern sound? Maybe add some more chordals in. Add some upper structures. Do you need more fills? Use your upper structures. Okay, do you need more rhythmic clarity, some excitement? Jump up to the high end and use your octaves with your left-hand rootless voicings. So my point here is every voicing has a job. They all have a job. And again, like I said, this is actually one of the biggest mistakes that jazz pianists make is they just collect voicings over the years. They're always collecting voicings, reading voicings on notation paper, like reading new voicings. I get it, okay? Instead of understanding them, understanding the purpose. And the same thing happens with, funny enough, the same thing happens with everything else in jazz piano. It happens with scales. It happens with improvisation. All of this happens with reharmonization and almost every other jazz piano skill set. Because progress doesn't come from knowing more things. Progress comes from knowing when and why to use the things you already know. Hope you guys enjoyed that. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe. And again, like I said, over the next few weeks, I'm going to be sharing more about the new Jazz Piano School Academy and how we're helping students build these skills through a much more structured learning path than simply just collecting random jazz concepts from all over the internet. And the new, brand new Jazz Piano School Academy will be released on July 7th. So you're going to want to get on the waiting list to get more information about that. We're going to be releasing new pricing on that because of this new platform. It's faster, it's better, there's more features, the community is amazing, all that good stuff. You're going to want to get in on the grandfathered pricing. So hope you guys enjoyed that, and I'll see you in the next episode.